everybody, and welcome to the PC Gamer Show for November 16th, 2017. Year's almost up. I'm sitting here with Tim Clark, our global editor-in-chief. How you doing, Tim?
Pleasure to be back, James. I'm almost a regular now.
You are. This is a streak for you. It's just because Destiny 2 is out, and now you have something you want to talk about. That's good, though. That's good. And Chris Livingston, staff writer at PCGamer.com. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you, James, for having me on your show.
Yeah, yeah, on my show. It's really hard to book these two, and here we are every week. I somehow manage it. By the way, I'm James Davenport. I'm an associate editor. That's pretty important, since I'm the first voice you hear. But anyway,
are you drinking a probiotic drink?
I almost.
You've gone full California. What happened to that boy from the mountains we brought down here?
One tick here. Looks like people aren't getting audio. They're getting audio. Never mind. I'll cut that out. But this is a Kavita cleansing probiotic apple cider vinegar tonic, and the flavor, turmeric. Wait for it, ginger.
You don't want turmeric in a drink.
turmeric ginger. So turmeric.
It's just moonshine. We all know it's just moonshine.
It's basically
he's a country boy.
There is a kombucha drink out there that you have to show your ID for to buy because it's got like 1% alcohol in
there. If you had to score that drink out of 100 on the PC Gamer review grade, what would you give it?
I think a good 75.
Wow.
It's if you like that ginger burn, if you like, I don't know, the impression that everything you ate at lunch that you regret eating is dissolving in your belly, then I highly recommend this drink.
I had to order a different slice of pizza for lunch today than the one I normally have every day.
Oh my God.
You probably can't tell from my svelte physique. But yeah, I thought it would be fine, but it wasn't fine. Like, it was just like that loss of like 15% of enjoyment.
Fuck, man.
It felt like a chasm.
It is. I mean, and it like reinforces playing it safe, you know?
The answer
is
never try anything new.
Never try anything new.
I don't know why you would.
I've tried a new curry last week. Fucking regret it.
Don't put anything new in your mouth.
No. There you go. That's going to be the name of the show if we had that kind of naming scheme. But let's start off by talking about what we're playing now before we dive into some news about Destiny 2. Right? Right? And
What if my answer is the same?
News is not the right word, perhaps.
Okay.
And we're also going to hit on the Star Wars Battlefront 2 kind of loot box fiasco, as well as I'm going to talk about what I actually think about the game. Because
the great loot fire of 2017 is how Andy
so many people lost.
Described it this morning.
So many people lost. But yeah.
Oh, the game. You're going to talk about. That's right. There's a game there.
There is a game in there.
Honestly, not. I thought it was just a loot box.
I haven't. Unfortunately, I'm not the game yet.
Yeah. So I only played the. Why don't we just talk about that right now for my now playing? Right off the top of. The Origin, whatever they do, Origin Access, I think is what it's called. They give you 10 hours to play the game. They give you the first three levels.
Open Access? Is that what they call it?
I don't fucking know. It's some subscription thing. $5 a month. It's really not an awful deal, I guess, but you're kind of locked to EA games.
What was it? You get like 10 hours with the game or something?
10 hours with the game. I don't know if it's the full multiplayer or what.
There's just enough to get really angry.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay. Pretty much. It's more than enough to get really angry because, we'll get to that in a bit. But I will talk about, I didn't really dink around with the multiplayer in this trial so far because I played a lot in the beta. But I did the first three levels of the campaign, and you play as, God, some fucking Star Wars name. You could just mash together some, I don't know, syllables or make an anagram.
Blanco.
Yeah, Bluth Lanko. Torque, Faladon, I don't know.
Hang on, I've got one coming.
You got one?
Jingo Alcor.
That's a good one. These are all classic
really
Star Wars
good.
Characters.
I like it.
You play as Edrin or Eden or something. But anyway,
we'll call him Eddie.
You're basically... You play Eddie.
Is there a boy?
No, you play as a she, and she is like still Special Forces Stormtrooper.
Is that denoted by a slightly different colored pauldron or something?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, they've got a cool black outfit,
nice.
A glossy black helmet that I just like. I don't. This is another thing about Star Wars. There's like they're putting their helmets on and off. They have to get fingerprints on them at some point, but all those fucking helmets are just like shined to like just perfect sheen all the time.
No, not the sandy guys. They have like sandy.
I guess so, but like if you're on like the Empire's ship or like Death Star, like.
The military are pretty big on keeping your uniform.
I guess, so maybe that's their thing.
Heard about that.
Anyway, the game. It's the perspective is cool because this takes place between like the final moments, like of the Return of the Jedi, and the new.
So before the Ewok party.
Before the Ewok party. Well, like basically the Ewok party.
Was it like during the planning of the Ewok party?
Yeah, the whole first mission is just like.
There must be a great like movie listicle out there on the internet of like the worst parties in films.
That like, party's pretty bad.
I would put at number one the party from Matrix 2, like the deodorant advert underground sex party.
Oh, the big rave.
I remember that. Yeah. I watched that.
I felt like it went on. I felt like I was at the fucking sex party.
I saw that movie with my mom. Like, I was, I don't know, what, 14, 15? Uh-huh. She's like, do you want to go see the new Matrix? And I was like, because she knew I liked that shit. Took me to the Matrix. Regret it. You're
Are there going to be any hippies fucking in it? Yeah, it was awful. Otherwise, I'm not coming.
She's a preacher's daughter, so it was just like, it was an awful, awful time. Star Wars. It's cool for like when it takes place, those first three missions at least, because like these you play the Special Forces unit, they're like fucking high on life at the moment because they're like Empire is like kicking ass right now. Mm-hmm. You see the Death Star in the sky in construction, and you land on Endor. Is that the Ewok planet?
Yep.
To do a thing, I don't remember, but who cares? And all of a sudden you look up, boom. Your like mother base is destroyed and gone, and you know if you've seen the movies, you know what's going on. You get it's a little exciting little moment. Ooh, I'm a fan of this. I understand.
It's like one of those days where you go into work and find you've been laid off. You're like, oh, guess that's the end of that's the end of a stormtrooper.
Pretty
for
much.
A while.
I gotta hand it to her though.
Will I still get paid?
That's I would just like say, so can I go home now? But yeah. She's like, nah, we gotta.
They're just really quietly taking the stormtrooper outfit off in the woods.
Just like, yeah, if you actually go back to watch Return of the Jedi, you can see her kind of sneaking into the party. She has resolve and faith in the Empire and wants to kick ass and take it back, and so you start to do that. Like, she scraps a team together and they fight some rebels, and from there go on these big kind of you end up in a space battle, and I mean it's all very Star Wars-y expected. You know,
it's quite short, right?
I have not finished it, like I said, but I can see it being very breezy. I'm told that it takes a big turn, and you don't specifically play as her the entire time. Okay. I don't know who as, but and that it is like about 5 hours long, which is kind of par for the course with most of these like games where multiplayer is the thing.
It switches to Gribble Killadon.
Yeah, Gribble Killadon and Blocka Ding Dilly Dat. I don't know. I'm running out. The actual mission structure is not that interesting. It's like, here's a big open plane. It's very beautiful, and that's like nice. And the weapons feel Star Wars-y and cool, and everything is evoking that franchise that we all love and know. But as far as like, I don't know, it's just like open environment, kill 10 dudes, move on to the next thing. Open environment, kill 10 dudes, and move on to the next thing. And it's not particularly innovative in its design, but it is at least a big fancy Star Wars thing that we can all play and enjoy. I just hope the writing keeps up. Tyler has said,
has he put a score on it yet?
He's not put I think he's very close. It's just like having multiplayer people to play with, because I think the game's not live until Friday, tomorrow, like technically.
I'm not gonna play for it. I don't care for it. I'll tell you for why. Star Wars is bad.
Like, okay,
isn't it? Isn't it just bad?
I think my enjoyment for it diminishes the more shit that comes out and gets announced. Like, because I was a kid.
I liked it
enjoy
quite a bit
it.
When I was a kid, but like,
it's this pocket thing, you know.
It's like 1.5 good films. Those new films are bad.
I tell people this, and I say they are not very good.
Is the guy from Girls in it? He's terrible.
he's like,
I don't even mind him as an actor, but he's so bad in Star Wars. Like,
it's really hard to take him seriously. It's really hard. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, whether you like Star Wars or not, it's, I don't know. I have a hard time, like, seeing it being an excellent campaign, just, like, a super
Does it look super fancy, Frostbite engine, all that jazz?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the better-looking engines. I know it can be fairly buggy for some people, okay. But I think it looks fantastic. It's just not, there's not a lot going on within it. Multiplayer could be cool. We'll see. But I just need to get that out of the way, because there's a game in there. It's all right.
Let's talk about the real action.
What's the real action?
The loot box.
Well, I want to hear what you guys are playing first. Let's get to that. I want to like give some breathing room to this,
build up to it.
What the, because I feel bad for all the people who like probably poured a lot into this, and or maybe their work is getting glossed over, but that sort of comes with the territory.
About to hire personal security.
Yeah. what have you been playing, Tim?
Well, I've still been doing my I've been doing my Hearthstone daily quest, trying to build up enough gold and dust for the expansion, which is coming out early December. So called Kobolds and Catacombs. We just put a story up, hopefully while we've been on air, actually saying that Blizzard are going to reveal a bunch of the cards on Monday stream on. A stream that's at 10 a.m. Pacific time with Brian Kibler, who I'm a big fan of. So I'm hyped for that. It's kind of a nice Christmas treat for me to have a new expansion for that.
For sure.
And then speaking of expansions, so last week I was flown up to Bungie to check out the first DLC for Destiny 2, which is called The Curse of Osiris. Actually, I'm not sure if there's a there in it. Maybe it's just Curse of Osiris. Unfortunately, we played on PS4, but it was mainly just to get a sense of like kind of what the Evan doesn't like me saying content, what the stuff was in it. I can only talk about the campaign at the moment because, well, I can kind of talk around some other bits, but
yeah,
I was given like this NDA where like the guy said, so you've all seen an NDA, and it was like, it went onto two pages and had like three different dates, and then under which was like bullet points that went into other bullet points. You know when there's so many bullet points it keeps changing the icon because there are sub bullet points for the bullet points. So I have to speak kind of quite carefully about it, but I had a good time. Like played that for a day. Played pretty much the whole campaign, some PvP, some of the new strike missions. But yeah, I can just talk about the campaign at the moment. But when I wasn't there, I am playing still the main game. I just rolled a Titan yesterday because I have two characters that are now 300-ish power level. Which
is getting there, huh?
Yeah, close to the cap. Some gear that I'm chasing, like exotic weapons and stuff. But I'm definitely like getting to that point, I think, where I'm ready for something. It was interesting actually yesterday because I published like my you can read them on the site, like my thoughts about the campaign.
Yeah.
And there was a few people in the comments, and I understand why, sort of saying, well, this is a bit rum that there's already a DLC. Game's only been out like a month or so, and it's like. That's fair, but obviously it's partly a factor of the PC version coming 6 weeks after the console one, so there is really from launch to expansion a bigger gap than there would have been, and from here on out all the releases are going to be day and date the same on console.
Yes, which is exciting.
And the other weird thing is like, not weird, so the other thing I think to note about it is that much as plenty of people, I think, probably rightly say, well, Destiny isn't actually an MMO. It's only like, you know, the most you ever have is like six people together in a fire team.
Yeah.
And the instances, I'm not even sure how many people go into the instances, like eight maybe max, something like that. So it's not kind of really massively MMO. But where I think it really does share the DNA is the whole lifeblood of that game is when they inject new shit in.
Definitely.
And without that, it's not kind of like an Assassin's... For me, anyway, it's not like an Assassin's Creed or a Cold where you're like, oh, you just want to sell me some more maps and, like, maybe a new gun. This is like... they refresh the systems, they put some new story content in, and it's without that, it would be dead on the vine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to, like, make money... Well, they don't have to, but they've chosen to make money... by doing paid for expansions rather than trying to charge, you know, a monthly fee or whatever, which, you know, I think for a lot of reasons obviously wouldn't be sustainable, right? But yeah, do you want to know about the story at all?
Yeah, I mean, give us at least like the setup.
So the juice is kind of, it takes place after the main game. You need to finish the main game. You're called to the tower to be told that they've found the ghost, which is the little robot friend that flies around with you and basically talks for you. They found the ghost belonging to this lost warlock called Osiris, who is this he was once the vanguard leader for the warlocks. He was banished from the tower because he was kind of looking into these kind of off books ways of fighting the enemies of humanity. That, you know, he was kind of very much one of those kind of like characters in fiction who's like, we must sometimes do bad things to get the good result. So he was thought lost to the get. I can already sound like what a fucking Kool-Aid drinker I'm sounding like. He was lost to the Vex gate network, the Vex of this machine race. They travel through space and time, evil robots, yada yada. So it's all about like tracking him down and finding out what his deal is. Jerry Seinfeld voice. We're pretty sure he's on Mercury, which is a
planet.
The planet closest to the sun. Thanks, Wikipedia. You last saw that in the main game, being half blown up by the baddies of the main game, the Cabal. But Mercury's
did they blow up half of Mercury?
Yeah, but this is
just half though.
So this is
why would they do that?
I think they would because they were
turn into juice.
Do you actually want to know, Chris?
I mean,
I'm curious as to why blowing up half of Mercury would be some kind of
they basically mine planets for like. They kind of convert them into like luxury juice for the cabal.
Yeah, it's literally juice.
And they were going to blow up the whole solar system if they couldn't persuade the big flying golf ball to give them its energy. Holy shit! How have I played so many hours of this game? It does sound like madness. Actually, even describing it reminds me of how much I love it.
But, I'm excited.
You're on Mercury anyway, Chris. Just accept it.
All right.
The robots have basically converted what's left of Mercury into this robot planet. So it's all kind of like you're so close to the sun that the sun kind of almost like blocks out the sky. Mm-hmm. It doesn't block the sky, it fills the sky with its radiant sunniness. And the ground is kind of like a mixture of this kind of like brutalist robot architecture and kind of, you know, glass, I think, because it's the sun's almost boiled it to the glass. And it's got this really cool... So there's this connective tissue on some that's used for some of the story missions called the Infinite Forest, which is that the Vex run what's called a reality engine, which is they simulate infinite realities, I guess, which basically means to like some very light randomization in the missions. Like maybe I'll be fighting the Cabal on this shape of rocky outcrop, or maybe I'll be fighting the Fallen on a different piece of geometry. Mm-hmm. But I think that'll be used quite a bit for some of the kind of like post-campaign content, of which there is some. But yeah, the most interesting thing actually, which came out because they did a stream yesterday as well, which was cool but sort of infuriated me because when I was up there, I tried to find out when they announced this expansion or when they showed the first trailer for it, they said there's going to be some raid content in it, which is always like the big PvE kind of community is like the big kind of the big draw of these DLCs, and not every DLC in the past has had one, and that's caused some amount of controversy. And I was trying to push him to find out what this raid concept was, and they were like, we can't tell you. And then they revealed it on the stream, so I was like, fuck, and had to quickly rewrite my story. That's a little bit of inside baseball you don't need to know about. So what they said the raid content is going to be is they're going to take the existing raid, which is called Leviathan, which is this six-man activity. It's like, I think I described it before on here, it's like holding a battle inside like a Prince concert in space. It's kind of all purple and gold and luxury.
It's really cool.
It's good fun. It's a multi-hour kind of thing. So what they're going to do is add in a new raid lair. That's L-A-I-R rather than Y-E-R. And these lairs are going to take place in a different part of the ship on which it's set. This ship is so big that it swallows planets. So there's obviously plenty of... I don't know how feasible that actually is.
Not very.
You know.
Seems unlikely, but...
No, it looks like a big whale, and it's got like a palace on top of it, Chris.
It's pretty cool. I mean, like, it skirts by like believability.
So I think the lair takes place in a different section of the ship. It'll be, from the sounds of it, certainly shorter than the current raid. So slightly less onerous, hopefully, in terms of finding a team to set aside a couple of hours or whatever. It's going to have a new final boss. There's going to be new loot attached to it, which is key because people have been quite unhappy with the raid loot being a bit bland.
Right.
So hopefully they've kind of learned that lesson. I mean, one thing to set your expectations by there is that this expansion was in development before Destiny 2 even came out. So there's a limited amount with which they're going to have been able to respond to kind of the, you know, feedback, good or bad, mainly the grousing that, you know, comes with any big game.
I mean, there's some of that in there, at least like from systems I don't quite understand yet, but there are just new things to do in the end game. They detailed, or didn't quite detail it, but they implied there's something like a weapon forging system
of
some kind.
Yeah, so when you've finished the main story, which I think will take you probably no more than a couple of hours, they have this planetary gear, like an armor set and a weapon set, which you forge, I think, from doing kind of adventure stuff, which I didn't actually see that in action when I was up there, but I did see some stuff I can't talk about, which I think will add an amount of good grind to some of the gear collections. Some things that you can do that will then reward you with stuff, really, for like replaying stuff like strikes and stuff. And they also said they're bringing back the heroic strike playlist.
Fucking finally, that was my lifeblood.
I don't understand why people care about that though, because all that is like a slightly higher power level. They're not, I don't, oh, I can't
well
say, actually.
I mean,
if you watch the stream, you'll note that there are no modifiers on it.
That's fine. I just like
burns and stuff
heroic strike playlist is maybe not the answer to what I wanted, but I just wanted strike playlists to be incentivized meaningfully.
I really want the strikes to have like strike specific loot in it.
Exactly. So
that was what was really lacking for me, is like, even if it's just like stuff that once you get it.
And I think strikes are some of like the best like confluence of accessible and interesting.
The strikes are generally better designed in the regular story missions, right? Because they're more, they feel like they have more of a flow, like they build up to this big boss.
Definitely,
blah, blah, blah.
Definitely. So I think, I don't know, they really, I'm hoping Bungie leans into them, because...
So I can tell you a little thing off that. So for PC, there's two new strikes.
Right.
I'm not sure if Sony's getting their own one this time. Sometimes they have in the past. Didn't see it if they were. But yeah, the two new strikes are now part of the flow of the campaign.
Okay.
Which initially I was kind of like, that's a bit like, are people going to be pissed that it feels like they're kind of duplicating them? But when I was talking about it in the comments and with people on Reddit afterwards, and people generally seem to be glad the strikes were actually being part of the narrative, rather than this kind of like, oh, we've done a story, but now we're doing something completely different over here.
It's much like the original game had them. You didn't have to do them, but they put them on the map, so you could do them individually at least once.
Taken King, you did have to do them. Sunless Cell, and like the blood.
I missed that because the strike playlist in Destiny 2, I didn't even play all of the strikes until like a month in, because I just didn't get it in the rotation, and that was frustrating.
It's the funny thing is with that game, it's because like the player base, much as they'll complain about like lack of content, one of the funny things for me to watch over 3 years has been like how quickly they will find the path of least resistance to getting anything.
Yeah.
Like, and strikes, and to a similar degree, like PvP just doesn't pay off in terms of rewards. So people will just grind public events, even though that becomes boring eventually or quite quickly, rather than do some of the more fun content because it's slower. Even if they don't quite need the rewards, like when they had the faction rally last week, and I was guilty of this.
Yeah.
You know, you can do a lot of stuff to earn those tokens to get the gear. But instead of that, there was this glitch which we wrote about on the site where you could basically like leave one area where the token box was in, quickly sprint, not even quickly, just turn around 10 meters, re-instance that little bubble on the map, and the box would still be there to open. And you could basically get 600 tokens in like an hour and change. And it was funny because I felt like that was one of the things that had really brought the community together.
It was.
They were all like saying shit.
We all want loot caves, man.
Thanks for making the box have a spring-loaded lid so that can jump me to the door even quicker. They were like standing on the box
to get
fired to the door.
That's so good.
So whatever Bungie end up doing with any of the systems, people will always find the quickest path to getting the shit.
I want them like... more than anything, I don't think they like new content is what it needs. It's just a refocus, because in our Discord, I'm planning to do an adventure night, just because like a lot of people have barely touched the adventures.
You're just leaving it because you know like the rewards suck for them. They're really good.
There's some really good adventures in there. Yeah. So we're going to do those. If they could just like, I don't know, scale a reward of some kind, or if you hit 20, like you get coins for doing them or some shit like that, you know. It would be enough.
So if you are looking for we should probably wrap Destiny, but if you are looking for a clan, PC Gamer does have one. You do need to be a member of the club. So I don't want to make you feel bad that you're not paying to be in the club. Like, that's cool. There's other clans out there, but if you do want to play with us, and there's some good players in there as well. Just go to club.pcgamer.com. You can check out how to get involved, and then James or I will add you to the
It's
the,
pretty active.
The clan.
We hit our cap, and we have Mr. Soup in the chat. He's
Are we at the cap, are we?
No. Well, we're at the season experience cap. We have only like out of member wise, we have just over 50.
Yeah. I think. So the cap is like 100. So it'll be kind of like,
that's why we have to limit it a bit.
It'll be first come, first served. Like, if people leave, we'll bring new guys in or girls in.
Just real quickly, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Soup. He's, hey Tim, I led a group of members through the raid. Do I get anything? And he asks, hugs?
You can definitely have a hug. More importantly, that means you've got me and Engram. So
thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
We gotta go pick that up.
We're gonna be running a raid, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which I think is full at the moment. But I need to I just rolled a Titan, so I need to raid with him a little bit. So I'll certainly be raiding every week until I lose my mind or my girlfriend leaves me. One of those two things. Mr. Soup is a fine player.
Yeah, he's a ton of fun. Anyway, moving on from Destiny 2, Chris, you've been playing an expansion to a game that I don't think gets a lot of chatter, or enough chatter as it deserves, in the PC Gamer offices. Can you talk about your adventures with The Sims 4? Is it Cats and Dogs? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Cats and Dogs expansion that adds pets, notably cats and dogs, as you might guess from the title. Also, raccoons and foxes are in there too.
Why?
And oddly enough, it takes place on the planet Mercury, which has been blown up by robots. It's a little strange kind of synchronicity there.
Eventually, yeah, no, it converge.
Yeah, so it adds pets. It also adds like a new town, and there's like a vet's office that you can choose to work at or own and become a vet for various townspeople who have pets that aren't feeling well and they come in. So that was my first thing. I haven't really played the game. Like, I don't play The Sims. I don't sit down and start off with, you know, $10 in a tiny house. First thing I do is enter the money cheat and give myself a couple $1 million and then, you know, find a nice big house or just do some sort of activity. In this case, it was I bought the vet's office and decided since I could afford it, I was qualified to be a vet. I assume that's how it works in real life. You just buy an animal hospital and make yourself a doctor. But it's kind of fun. I mean, they people bring their pets in and, you know, I think the dog I had, his feet were glowing, which I think is supposed to tell you that his feet are hurting. But I just saw it as like this dog like has been walking around in radioactive puddle. And so you do a little examination and it's not, you know, not really much of a simulation. It just gives you different choices, like look in the dog's mouth or listen to its heart, or, you know, examine its fur, take its temperature, et cetera.
No butt play, though.
No, I was expecting the thermometer to be the butt thermometer that I know very well from taking various pets of mine to the vet and having them tortured in the butt. But it's just a laser. They just point like at its ear. I don't know. I guess this is a very, very well appointed futuristic vet's office. And then there's a machine that the animals will very helpfully just kind of step into. Also not very realistic in my experience. Where you can do various procedures like neuter them, which was kind of my thing. I was just neutering every pet. You don't have to ask. You don't even have to ask the owner. You can just do what you want.
Do they get angry?
It's really strange.
Like, do they
react? They seemed angry. Yeah. I don't know if they were angry about the neutering or the fact that I just ran every surgical procedure at a very high price and charged them without asking them first. Also, you know, I'm a sim. I can't just do things all day. I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
I took a break to, I think it said, well, once it was to play video games during the procedure. Once it said blog about my feelings because I was feeling sad.
You can blog in The Sims?
Yes, it said I could blog about my feelings. Oh, good. So if you want to read about a very sad vet, go join The Sims, and I guess... In that world, you will read the feelings I had about how sad I was.
How many animals did you successfully deball, Chris?
I think it was about 6 or 7 over 2 days, 2 in-game days. Pretty much any pet that came in, I neutered them. I don't know why I did that. It just seemed strange that I didn't have to ask and no one...
Did the owners ever say, like, oh, he had glowing feet, but you cut his nuts off? What up?
No, they never said. They would get a little bubble over their head that expressed some sort of anger, but you know, you don't really have a conversation with them. It's they talk gibberish and they think in you know, pictures. They just seemed unhappy.
You got the anger bubble. At least that's, you know, some sort of check. Yeah. Some sort of check and balance to your madness.
And what are they gonna do? I mean, they can't, like, you know, they can't take my animal hospital away. They can't go to the police. They're powerless before me. They can't file a lawsuit, at least not until the lawyers and judges expansion comes out. They're powerless to stop me. So, what else did I do? Oh, I tried to breed a red panda yesterday by combining a raccoon with several cats.
What? So you can just breed whatever the fuck you want with whatever the fuck
you want? No, you can't. It took me forever, and it didn't even work. You can't breed whatever you want. You can breed any two dogs unless they're related, but you can edit relationships. So
you can't breed, like, a dog with a cat.
No, you can't breed a dog with a cat. You can breed various dogs and various cats.
Wait, is that accurate then, the raccoon thing? Because it seems like they've thought about this EA. Like, oh, you know, we need to be accurate.
It's I'm
looking
accurate.
At you, mountain boy. You should must know. Tell me you've never tried.
Come on,
tell me you've never tried to breed a raccoon with a cat.
I mean, we've had some pet raccoons in the past, but let's not go there.
You know, I was hoping to kind of do some Frankenstein work with you know, crazy ass dogs and cats, but it's not. I didn't really wind up with any kind of Frankenstein creatures. You can, you know, take a big dog and mate it with a little dog, and you'll get kind of a goofy looking dog, but it's not like I haven't been able to create any real monstrosities, unfortunately. But it's kind of, you know, it's fun. The animals are cute. It seems like, I don't know, I don't follow the Sims community that much. It seems like adding pets for like $40 would really raise the ire of other gaming communities. Yeah. But everyone I know who plays The Sims are just like, yeah, that's great. Awesome. I can't wait for this expansion. I think they're...
When my other half, Rachel, heard it was being announced, she was like, fuck yeah, finally, the dogs. So she seemed all right.
I had a friend like typing in all caps about how excited they were to be getting it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cute. It's fun. I enjoy The Sims as of, like, it's not something I think I would play a whole lot of, but it's fun to jump in and mess around and breed animals and charge people
and cut their nuts off
for doing surgery on their pets.
Well,
it's fun.
I'm glad that game still, that series is still like has an audience, because I don't know about you guys, but I played the crap out of that way back when.
Yeah, I was saying, I used to, like, in a previous job of mine, I would download on the office computer, like, really, really fancy high-res, like, wallpaper, like mm-hmm. Laura Ashley wallpaper to, like, deck out my house, like,
fuck
a kind of show home.
Everyone had their own way of playing The Sims, or probably still does. I would probably happily play it today if I just was, it doesn't enter my mind most days, but,
if you had no job and no need to earn money.
Yeah. There was like a good modding scene back in the day for like Sims 2. Maybe
there's a big modding scene today.
Oh, still.
In fact, that's probably something I should be paying more attention to, because they really do mod it like crazy.
Yeah. Like I remember like, there was one, basically not a total conversion, but a package that let you play as Death, and you could like the decorations that made him happy, and you know, his happiness go up, and furniture were all just hell themed, and there was like a skeleton in a cage you could hang up that was basically like a plant equivalent. Anyway,
Chris, how many cats could you own in the game? Is there like a cap?
I got up to, I think you can have probably around 6 to 8 pets at a time.
I want you to go.
I had to start deleting them when I got down the line. What's that?
I want you to go like crazy cat person, and then maybe there's a fire, and we just see what happens.
Wow, wow.
That is.
You know, it's okay if
that's
it's people.
Too far.
Tim,
is it?
Yeah, I mean that's we all play The Sims that way, right? We build a house and a pool and take away the doors and put a bunch of ovens in there and.
I did have a fire in my house, first house.
With the cat?
With the cat and the dogs. The dogs all ran outside with me. The cat walked around in the fire for several minutes. But okay. And, you know, it was clearly in some distress, but it didn't... I don't think pets can die. But I did not have the sense of the dogs. The dogs all ran out with me and stood and watched. And I was trying to use my phone. Like, you know, your sim has a little cell phone. I was like, I need to call the fire department. And it wouldn't let me use the phone because there was a fire. And I was like, oh... I completely didn't think to try to extinguish it myself, which is what you actually have to do, is go in and extinguish it yourself.
Well, God.
But, yeah.
Anyway, thanks for regaling those tales. There are very, very good write-ups that accompany those I put in chat. So go read them. They are amazing. Mr. Soup says, nude mods in Sims 2 is when I discovered my sexuality. Very happy for you, Mr. Soup. I'll be thinking of that when we raid next.
It's a powerful piece of edutainment.
It is. Real quick shout out to DJ Bruce, who has been subscribed with us now for 7 months. He says, my PC may be dead, but I'm here. Thank you for being here.
Wait, what happened to his PC?
I don't know. What happened to your PC? Let us know. And
I thought I'd bricked my PC last night, but when I put 2 sticks of RAM into it, and it went mad.
it's a guy, it's the season. Like, yeah. Tyler's cooler was acting up.
I was getting like, the kernel is gone.
Yeah.
Can't verify this and that. Scanning partitions. It was all like the big blue sad smiley
face. I hate
that
shit.
And then it was like doing like a trying to boot for 2 seconds and then just going, and then
good sound.
Cycling the boot.
It's a normal sound.
I just have to take the sticks back out.
Yeah, just reseeding that shit helps out.
It wasn't even, it was seed, right? I just won't accept these new ones. I don't know why. Oh. Tried them in different configurations. Right.
Well, I'm glad you found out what's going on. Let's talk about something we can't solve. Battlefront 2's loot boxes. So this has been a... I don't know. We've talked about loot boxes in the past, and I don't want to really dive into like the ethics of loot boxes and are these going to stick around? Because, of course...
It's been like a fire in a pet shop.
Microtransactions are going nowhere. That's just the reality of the industry, right? They will take different shapes, and we, I think, just need to accept that. But Battlefront 2 has been drawing some criticism, specifically for how much time it takes to earn some of its rewards and sort of the perceived value
of some
of those rewards.
Because they patched some of the stuff right.
So,
I don't want to give them like a pass on it at all, because like,
no.
It's definitely been like the story of the week. For me, like... For me, I think like what was interesting about this story was, one, how quickly, like how big the backlash was, two, how quickly they then had to like make what was a substantial change to the way their economy works, which I don't think I've seen from many big developers or big publishers with a kind of AAA release this year, which is, again, not to say like, you know, good on them, because I think it was like a mess to begin with. And I think it does create some interesting questions about like, the precedent it sets. I think on the one hand, I think it's definitely like a real positive that like the community was able to get something that was egregious fixed. Like, I've been a big fan of, you know, much as it gets accused of being a salt mine, some of the changes that the Destiny Reddit led to over the course of 3 years, they really pushed for some quality of life stuff that they ultimately, I think, might not have happened without their amount of complaining. Two, I keep just saying numbers, I'm up to about six now.
Seven.
There was definitely like an ugly side to it as well, though. Like, there was, you know, the interactions with some of the developers clearly got like pretty nasty. Like, mm-hmm. I know one was like logging death threats and stuff, and some people, like, I don't want to say like everyone involved, you know, was of the same opinion, because clearly that's not the case when something's this big, but some people were, even once that was raised, were still like kind of, you know, screw that guy.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have made it or whatever. To go back to the original thing, like, James, the issue to me like really flared because the stuff that was so grindy to get, which was like the Darth Vader and the Luke Skywalker heroes, right?
Some of the heroes are locked up, yeah.
Yeah, they'd worked out that it would take like potentially 40 hours of non-paid for grind to get hold of those.
They originally had a 60,000, I think,
credit
purchase price, which someone... excluding the challenge credit rewards that you get, so they're like, you know, get 10 headshots, there's like dozens and dozens of these challenges, excluding those purely based on like an average per match gain, ruled it out to be like 40 hours per hero, and then to get everything statistically was something like 4,000 hours, which is pretty ridiculous, or like if you were to pay several thousand dollars like to statistically get them. That was then, like, after all this outrage you mentioned, was
the most downvoted post in Reddit history.
Yeah,
one of the
responses.
Response, yeah.
Pretty fucking bonkers. And I wish that kind of ire was maybe put towards something that could change the world in a positive way. Or maybe people realize they're just criticizing capitalism. But let's get my politics out of this podcast. They did respond and lower hero prices.
By like 75%?
Yeah, so I think they're like 15,000 credits now. And one hero is maybe 2,000, and they give you a reward that it has since like gone down to stay equal to that hero's cost. So you, just by completing the campaign, you get one hero. I think people still did the math, and it still amounts to a lot of time per hero and a lot of time to get everything. What is everything? Like every card, I suppose, which you probably won't need.
Yeah, but see, this is my issue, right? Like, I don't think getting everything is the issue. Like,
No.
I'm not going to get like every, you know, I've played like hundreds of hours even at this point of Destiny 2, and I probably don't have all the cosmetics.
Absolutely not.
And that's fine. The issue is much more, I think, that And there was a really good thread. Wes and I and Evan were reading about this on Twitter last night, and I really apologise for not remembering the name of the guy who'd posted it, but they were a game developer, or someone, a developer with like a track record where they worked in AAA and they worked on some microtransaction stuff. And he really laid out a lot of interesting thoughts, key to which was kind of like, do not put stuff that people consider to be integral and core to the game behind the paywall.
Yeah.
Like, and Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader couldn't really get much more integral to like what that experience is going to be. Like, I'm pretty sure they're in the marketing and on the fucking boxes and whatnot. So like, having them be the things that, you know, you're having to like either turn over actual cash for, or just you don't get to play with unless you really like grind your nuts off, just seems insane.
It's an awful decision, awful design.
I
agree. I think just like fundamentally the system is poorly designed, because it is all, and I mean, very plain faced. The cards, the star cards, just give your characters better abilities.
Yeah.
So
do you feel like it is pay to win? That's still
pay to have an advantage. Like, I don't know how, it's hard unless you see like the Excel spreadsheets that these, you know, these cards affect, unless you can see that. And you know,
I always feel like this non-cosmetic stuff is like the thin end of the wedge, because each time you keep kind of going, well, it's not quite pay to win, it's not quite pay to win, and then it like it just keeps creeping. Like,
sure,
I certainly saw that with the Eververse store in Destiny, where like you can now get like those fireteam medallions, which means loot drops at, you know, has double the chance to drop, and that's not going to help you win an individual Crucible match or complete the raid, but like it is a practical advantage of a sense, I guess. Like, I don't know. I just feel like Pandora's box never gets closed once opened, right? Like, you'll never be able to roll this stuff back. So I think on a lot of levels, people are right to be incredibly kind of cautious and defensive about this stuff. And you see it now, really. Like, I'd be interested to see what Chris thinks, but like, I feel like the toxicity around all loot boxes, regardless of like what precise system has been implemented, has got to the point where it's almost going to become unsustainable is a big word, but I think like companies must be getting like at least somewhat more wary about including this stuff.
Yeah.
Evan made an interesting point that he felt like the fact Star Wars had gone last effectively out of the big AAA games this year was a factor too. Like, that had kind of like, it was almost like you know, the proverbial straw that broke the stormtrooper's back or whatever. Like, it just kind of built up to like, what, and then another one? Because there was the whole thing with like the Lord of the Rings game where you could buy orcs, which was like, it didn't really offend me, but just seemed basically dumb.
Yeah, the last few months, I feel like it's just been the snowballing effect. I think, one, because people don't like them, and two, because it just seemed like every release stacked on top of each other had them, and it seemed like there wasn't a big game coming out that didn't have them. And then it's like, hey, we're Star Wars, guess what we've got? Loot boxes. And I think everyone just like, you know, one of the last big releases of the year kind of just put an exclamation point on the whole issue.
Well, some of
issue.
It's so eye-rolling as well. When you've got, like, in Call of Duty, like, they're landing on the fucking battlefield.
Beaches.
Or they're landing in your camp, and you're getting, like, rewards for just watching other people open them.
Yeah. You have a social score, which is calling it social, like, that social interaction, watching someone open, like, you know, they're fucking just watching someone on the slot machines, which is, like, I hate making that comparison, but it's like functionally very similar.
That has actually the biggest impact. I think that's not a minor point though, because that has a real impact on me. When I'm standing near the microtransaction shop in Destiny, and I see other people, because it brings it up on the log on the screen, and
what?
He goes like, this person's got this and this person's that. And I'm like a kid, even though I'm 40, going, well, I got nothing. Where's Timmy's stuff? Like,
Timmy,
and then
wants.
I'm like, I guess I could buy some stuff. Like, it's, you know, I'm so weak.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious.
I was actually trying to think the other day about the very first loot box type thing in my life. And I was thinking of, first of all, those, they're like gumball machines, but they had like the plastic bubbles, clear bubbles, where there was like a little toy or a little ring and you put a quarter in. You didn't know what you were going to get, but you could see a bunch of cool stuff in there.
McDonald's Happy Meals for me.
One randomly.
Happy Meals are a big one.
Yeah, when you would either get like Hamburglar or...
You want to collect them all, you have to go back and roll the dice and eat the fries.
That and baseball cards. You used to buy a pack of baseball cards that had what? How many were in there? Maybe 5, 10 cards?
Something like that. I used to get a bunch.
And you didn't know what they were. You knew you'd get a stick of the worst gum ever manufactured, and you'd get a bunch of cards, and usually it was like, you know, some nobody from the Kansas City Royals or something when you wanted Reggie Jackson or something like that. So it's kind of like thinking, like, man, they have kind of always done this to people where it's like,
I watched them,
what you're getting out.
I watched Jim Sterling's video about the whole thing, and he was kind of like, he looked at Giant Bombkeeper list of all the games that have loot boxes in, and he was kind of doing this line of like, between 2005 and 2000 and whenever Overwatch came out, there were like this many. It was like 11 games which kind of had that kind of transaction in, and then since Overwatch, like, there's basically been either double that amount, or there was like a huge uptick obviously post Overwatch where people had recognized, well, maybe we can sell these shiny things. And he was kind of sort of saying he doesn't think Blizzard should get quite the free pass that it seems
definitely
to.
Definitely not.
And they would, you know, we had like the quote from Mike Morhaime came out of BlizzCon going, oh, we don't think we should be in the same conversation
about that.
Loot boxes.
Like, fuck yeah, that.
I bet you don't.
Come on, buddy.
And then they even had the kind of the chutzpah to call out, but they were playing up the fact StarCraft is all unlocked. And like, you know, StarCraft's a beloved game and, you know, good on them and all that. But like, I know that those guys and girls reasonably well. Like, I don't know if that was a deliberate attempt to call EA out. I'd be kind of surprised, or if it was just a piece of happenstance.
That kind of stuff is in the planning for a while. You know?
But anyway, it certainly felt like that when that message came out, that they were having their kind of their loot box cake and eating it.
Yeah.
I mean, in their defense, I would say, like, I think some games do implement the system better than others and feel less obnoxious than others. Like, and people do seem to have reacted more violently to the ones that feel especially egregious. But at the same time, I think, like, yeah, Overwatch should be in that conversation.
The fact of the matter is, like, a better reward system for Overwatch, a more friendly, honest reward system that, you know, is not designed to entice people to want more and to spend money, to think about spending money, would just be a store where you can buy each skin and you earn credits every level or like for doing things in the game at
a
steady
pace.
It's
the RNG, isn't it?
Like, it's the RNG. Like, that fundamentally makes you a part of this problem and or makes you problematic, you know, like
I saw a defense being mounted that was that, you know, when you get these like new batches of skins released for Overwatch, you know, those are some of the most popular stories on the site, and people are really excited about them. And the same with like a Hearthstone expansion. I think trading card games or not collectible card games are slightly different, but
yeah.
I'm excited about the expansion, even though I know it's going to rinse a bunch of my money.
Yeah,
and maybe that's why Blizzard think they shouldn't be part of the conversation, because they are able to maintain that kind of goodwill. Yeah, so loot box is bad.
Yeah.
We've established again.
I'm curious to see what the next wave, like next fall, what kind of shape. I don't think they are going anywhere yet or ever, but
What I hope is that the conversation becomes much more defined in terms of, like, what do we, as people who pay for and enjoy games, consider acceptable systems.
Yes.
Rather than just going down the whole, like, loot boxes are cancer, every example of them is bad, they've ruined gaming. I don't think they're going away, like you say, James. No. And I think there are implementations of them that can be, like I say, less obnoxious and even, like, maybe feel okay. Like, because, you know, I'm a guy who wants certain games to be updated and able to have like enough money to stay healthy, basically. Like, there's been a lot of discussion equally about, like, you know, AAA games being in a problematic place. And we had the whole thing about that other Star Wars game couldn't exist. Well, this is a real ramble by me, isn't it? I hope the conversation is less binary than just all loot boxes are bad and moves more towards, like, what do we think qualifies as acceptable?
Yep.
And I think developers and publishers need to have a conversation too and say, what is not abusive? This is not just an endless money stream that we can throw at people, because clearly people are not happy at all.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. It would be a complete misreading of the mood for them to just keep plowing on as is.
I think, just to close out, the anger from everyone is totally warranted. These are big companies that
just don't want to make money. Just direct it at real people.
Yeah, just,
on
you know,
the internet.
Nowhere to put that anger and deal with it in a healthy way, a proactive way. Don't be a dick. Anyway, Star Wars, cool game, right? Let's move on to our Twitch chat Q&A. We have a bunch of questions from yesterday queued up, so we'll start with those. But if you have a question for us, we might be able to get to it in the time left. So tag at PC Gamer in the Twitch chat. Any games about any questions about games you have, let us know.
If it's Destiny related, I'll definitely answer it.
He will. He will. We also collect questions, you know, before the show from our PC Gamer Club Discord channel. It's a private Discord channel for club members only. And you can learn more about that at club.pcgamer.com. It's a pretty cool place. We're growing pretty steadily, and I'm adding some new cool stuff to the Discord pretty soon. Yeah, whole team's in there all the time. Our Destiny clan is playing a lot. There's an ice hockey channel that is just always lit up. I mean, you get other things with the club, too. You get an ad-free experience on the site. You get a digital subscription to PC Gamer Magazine. Monthly game codes. If we have, like, beta codes or something.
Yeah, other stuff we can scare up.
We'll throw it your way. We've done that with a few games before.
We're going to hopefully be running quite soon as well, some a competition to win some Razer gear. So,
ooh,
should be cool.
Stuff. I love stuff. Oh, yeah. So, go to, again, that's club.pcgamer.com. It's, like, $5 a month. Pretty cheap, I'd say. If you want to learn more, if not, just hang out in the chat and tag us here. So let's start with our big list. Nelson, who is a developer and he writes a column for us in the mag, asks, with so many complaints about microtransactions these days, have you played any recent AAA games that handled them especially well? Any big games that you think are, you know, this is a nice follow-up that is going to open up the conversation we just closed down, but I'm curious. Anything come to mind?
Well, I played Assassin's Creed. Obviously, Ubisoft, they have their Helix credits. They sell pretty much everything. You know, you can buy ability points. You can buy crafting resources. Like, if you want a shortcut, it's there. But I didn't feel like there were... there were definitely times in the game where I was like, oh, I need two more levels before I can continue the main quest. I gotta go grind out some side quests. But I didn't feel at any point, like I didn't really, it wasn't like I was thinking, man, I'm so shorthanded, I should go spend money or should use, like I didn't even use my credits until I had completed the main quest and I was running around goofing around and stuff. There were like some lulls in the progression and there were a few times where I thought, oh, I wish I was two levels higher. But I didn't feel like, I don't think I ever really felt like I was being shepherded into spending.
Right.
So I wouldn't say it was like a great microtransaction system, but I think it didn't really feel to me at any point like they had slowed me down to the point where it would frustrate me. So I would go spend money.
Right on.
So I think that's, and you know, it's there if you want it. Like that's what I spent my money on was, or my fake money on was, a bunch of crafting resources because I was like, I don't feel like hunting. At the end of the game, I've hunted a few times. I'm done with the main quest. I've done a lot of the side quests. Maybe I'll just buy some crafting gear with these points because I don't know what else to spend them on. And I bought a camel called Bone. I bought a camel called Bone Eater.
What and the fuck?
There's a camel called Bone Eater. I think that's his name.
Bone Did he have Eater. Like and skeleton? Like
no,
like a leather jacket.
No, he was just a camel. But the description said like. He eats bones, so be careful taking him hunting. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I want to see him eat some bones. So I took him hunting. He didn't eat any bones.
What the fuck?
So I was just
like the lore guy on a Friday example. Just going, oh, this flavor text, this will do.
I think it was just purely flavor text because I killed animals and then like got like just kind of watched him like, are you going to eat the bones? Maybe this is a bad example. Maybe I should be really upset that my bone-eating camel didn't eat
any
bones.
I'm just imagining a camel eating bones, like the crunching.
Crunching through.
Ugh. Why is that so disturbing?
I don't know.
Cool. Assassin's Creed Origins. I've noticed that, too. It's fairly out of your face. But, Tim?
Not really. I didn't
you
like
play all the microtransaction games.
Yeah. I didn't like the Mordor ones. Yeah. I don't think I spent any money on it.
No.
I didn't feel like I needed to, but I found them more confusing than anything.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what I was meant to be doing with my new orcs. Turns out you can just sort of dump them into different regions.
Yeah.
I opened my free ones I'd got with my collector's edition or whatever too early, so I didn't get kind of much value out of them. I felt more like just the system for it was a bit of a muddle. Like, I didn't really get it. And then with Destiny, I just think, like, I think it's a shame that some of the cooler cosmetics are gated in that way.
Yeah.
I have spent money on it, but I don't. I don't think that game's like particularly paid to win. But I do think like it has like bigger issues with the loot system that they shouldn't be shutting so much cool stuff off.
I agree.
Is a mistake. So I can't think of one that I've really. I guess I do find there's a lot of complaints about Hearthstone and the cost of it, but I do generally find the CCGs have like a better. It's much clearer to me what you're getting and how much I need to spend, even though it's probably more than I'd like.
I can't think of an example, but I mean Neo doesn't have any of that stuff at all, which is nice, and it's a game with loot and gold in it, where it could very easily be monetized, or it seems like it would fit into something like that.
Dark Souls didn't have any shit like that, did it?
No. So I mean, there's still plenty of games. This stuff can kind of crowd out the conversation around games that don't even use these systems at all, which probably will next time around. But you know, don't forget about Wolfenstein 2 and such.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Moving on to the next question from a car with Dice's. Oh God, this is all loot box stuff. With Dice's Reddit AMA today. This already happened, so we'll skip that one. I'm sorry. I initially planned to have the show yesterday, but complications. Thanks for the question, though. Wiseman, how good, in your opinion, is Steam helping gamers to find new games today? What can be improved? So, I want to know.
I don't know. I feel like it's never Steam that brings me to a new game. It's always people talking on Twitter or you guys talking or friends or something I read online. I feel like when I go to Steam, I'm not like browsing for something new. I'm either looking for something specific.
Yeah.
Or like, I wouldn't just go like, I want a survival game. I'm going to go to Steam and look through the survival category. I don't know. I don't see it as that kind of a service, really.
But I don't do that with like iTunes or Amazon either. I don't go, I'll go into the books bit of Amazon and see if there's any good horror books. Or like, I don't go on like iTunes and go, what post-rock albums I need. Like, in the same way, you rely on, I think, friends and hopefully sites like ours. Like, we run a thing every Saturday that's five games you might have missed, which Sean writes now.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to find some hidden gems and stuff. So I think the answer is they're not doing an especially good job, but maybe it's not their job really to do it either. I'm sure like some developers would argue they should surface their stuff better, but
at a point it becomes like impossible with how many games are coming out. But I mean, they could be doing more for sure. I think maybe better, I don't know, tools for people like us, that help us display games prominently, or I don't know, but either way, I go elsewhere.
I'd be interested to know if anyone listening or watching uses the curation stuff much.
Was there an update, or is that just in beta still?
I think there was one, but I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, I know Tyler was writing about that. Put something up.
And the other thing was, an indie developer, unfortunately, I can't remember, it was a couple weeks ago, but he's like, my game is on sale on Steam, and you'd never know it. And he posted these screenshots of the sale pages, which was just lists of like Call of Duty, I don't know, skins or something that weren't, I don't think they were even on sale or something. They were just part of some big package.
Yeah.
They were just pages and pages of this. So if you were like, hey, maybe I'll look through what's on sale this week, you're just going to see like huge lists of little items of content for a big AAA game. And I think that's not great at all, because you know, sales are really important, I think, for indie developers, and to not even get highlighted when your game is, 50% off because the lists are crowded with AAA crap. I mean, that must really suck.
I agree. So, yeah, we don't have an answer. Just go to PCGamer.com. We'll help you out. Good stuff. JBJ Blaze asks, with StarCraft II having gone free-to-play, what do you think will be the next paid game that goes the free-to-play route, and how smooth do you think the transition will be? What do you think the next big one? Destiny 2?
No.
Lawbreakers?
Lawbreakers, I think, is a good call-out. Yeah, I mean,
I'd agree.
That player count dipped low quickly, and it stayed low.
Yeah. It has to.
So I wouldn't doubt some free-to-play.
Does it qualify as a big game, though?
It's fairly big. I mean, technically indie, but
I haven't played it, but people spoke very highly of
it. Yeah, I had a good time with it.
I played it in alpha or beta, and it was really fun. I did really like it. I have never gone back, of course. But
Evan and Wes liked it, I think.
Yeah, I played a bunch with them for a while. Other games that, I don't know, I think Blizzard can afford to do, like, just like TF2 went free to play, like, those games have been around long enough that they can afford a smooth transition. Lawbreakers might be a rough transition, because I don't think, like, going free to play will mean everyone just starts playing Lawbreakers now. They really have to incentivize keeping people there. So I don't know. It's a tough call. Destiny 2. It's not going to be like I want it to be, so more people can join me. Scorpooler asks, which movie/video game genres don't have nearly enough video games in them representing them?
Easy.
What's that?
Police procedural.
You talking about like an LA noir kind of thing, or is that too? Just
anything where like it's like uncovering murders and being cops, and there's so, like catching the serial killers. Like there's so much TV and movie stuff dedicated to like true crime and that sort of stuff. LA noir. I did actually play LA noir. I should have said that. I'm now playing recently in VR.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which was fun. But I don't think probably isn't the answer to that. But I'd love to see like true, like I wanted for a while the next GTA to be like you play as a bent cop, like it would be like The Shield or something.
That'd be tight.
So like you're running loads of like crime stuff in the background, but while still doing your cop work, like arresting people and like busting heads. It's a pretty good idea, right?
Yeah.
Would you play my cop GTA, Chris?
Yes, absolutely, I would.
Sweet.
I want to play it.
I think Cyberpunk doesn't have enough games. I'm totally fucking with you. I'm so sick of Cyberpunk games.
Go ahead, Chris.
Sorry. I was going to say horror, but because I feel like horror games are horror games, but I think horror could leak over into like why not like a turn-based horror strategy or a city builder that's horrifying. Like why not? You know, like I feel like
or a horror RPG.
Yeah, I mean, anything could be spooky. Things could be spooky.
I agree. I mean, I used to play a lot of adventure games where you cannot die that are, you know, horror adventure games. And those still manage to be... I think I wrote an editorial on this, like, horror games need to quit killing us because you can be scary in a lot more ways than just by, like, punishing the player and making them restart from a checkpoint.
Did you see that in a Dracula voice?
But, I would love, like, a really big like RTS or like Civ style thing, or I don't know, like if XCOM had a much more like XCOM manages to be
RTS
creepy
that was all insects and animals, like it was like fucking ants and stuff.
I'd be into that.
Would that be cool?
That'd be geez, you're just fucking game idea.
They're free. Take them, industry.
He's helping you. That's a good call. Got a time for a couple more here. Janrin, any hidden gems, hidden in quotes, that you would personally recommend? So this is your time to call out a game, a small game. Tim, you don't play other games. You don't play small games.
It's not a small, well, it is a kind of a smaller game, but I would say like Elder Scrolls Legends, which is the other card game I play, has a new expansion coming out in end of this month, end of November as well.
Cool,
which is, probably just exposes the limits of the games I play. But that's kind of cool.
Cool. Chris? You play a lot of strange, small games.
Yeah.
Most of them are bad, though.
I guess I feel like I've probably pounded on this a lot, but West of Loathing, one of my favorite games this year. I don't know. I wouldn't even say it's a hidden gem. I feel like it's maybe kind of well-known, but I'm not sure. But in case it's not, it's a fun game, and it's also a very, very funny game and wonderfully written. And I think, really funny start to finish games are kind of rare. It's rare to find a comedy game. I think old adventure games used to do that a lot, but it's great, especially, I don't know, these days when things don't seem super fun. To get some laughs, and it's a really fun game. And it's even aside from just the comedy, it's just an enjoyable world and enjoyable characters.
Fun like little RPG.
I'll mention a game actually that I haven't played, but I watched my other half play that looked like it was really interesting, which is an indie game called A Mortician's Tale.
Oh yeah.
Where you work in a mortuary, and the developer sort of did it as a kind of a sort of rumination about like death and stuff.
I do that a lot.
It looked really interesting. I think it's quite short form as well. She liked that a lot.
Cool. I'm going to call out, we're talking about our Game of the Year awards recently and thinking about our personal picks, and I don't know if this will be my personal pick or not, so this is technically not a spoiler. But Oikospiel is a very strange musical game, made almost entirely with like stock Unity, like free Unity assets, I think. And the premise is you are witnessing a video game opera based on a story about generations of dogs developing a video game opera.
This isn't for me. This
you would hate this shit. Within minutes, you play like a dog and a spider, and you see an anime person with a tail.
I said no anime. But I could not have been more clear about that.
The music is excellent. There's like a really glitchy Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On remix, and a whole bunch of weird. It's such a trip. And it also has a very, I think, a lot of cool stuff to say about labor and capitalism, which is a theme this episode. So maybe check it out.
I have to get Tyler for Communism Wild on next week. Yeah,
pretty much.
See how you like your politics then.
Should we
take a couple from the chat?
Yeah, I don't want to. I can save some of these for. I really want to do a quick shout out. Kootness asked favorite game of Day of the Devs, and Kootness I actually met was one of our club members at Day of the Devs. Nice guy. I wish I had more time to chat with you. I'm sorry. I was trying to play that damn Goose game, but I played a lot of cool stuff there. Untitled Goose Game was my favorite. From the chat, we have, let's see, Blitzkrieg. Do you think microtransactions will go the way of the online Game Pass? And what similarities do you see between the two? So the online Game Pass, like, does that mean like the monthly WoW subscription, I'm thinking?
Yeah, there was a time you had to like pay to play for the multiplayer, right?
Monthly?
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, like a lot of MMOs have the monthly Game Pass. So I don't know. I think like with Destiny 2, functionally it accomplishes the same thing without a subscription.
Because it separates the player base.
Yeah. But
I think the microtransaction stuff will settle down, and it will settle down to into a position where like just it's something that people are very vigilant about, and kind of like almost like with DRM, people like are very call out the shitty instances of it very quickly. And I think that will never go away now.
Yeah.
But I think like the current situation of the kind of like just complete conflict between players and the games they play is not sustainable, because it just won't be good for either. So the people who make the games will have to find a way to stop this happening. So that's what
we're doing. It'll calm down and be replaced with something else that's also really horrible. It seems to be the way they just push past until it's pissed everybody off, and then they come up with something else.
Yeah, I mean, not to be too cynical, but they got to keep making money, and a lot more, like more money than last year. A lot of these big companies, like they're answering to investors, and loot boxes, I think will
one Bobby thing I'm Kotick says fuck you and fuck your Darth
pretty much yeah, give me that money. I think despite it's easy to look at like Reddit and Twitter and say the entire world is angry, EA is going down, but then you realize
Bobby's Activision. I maligned the wrong evil CEO. I'm sorry, Bobby.
He's fine. But it's this game will sell. Like Battlefront 2 is probably going to sell a lot. The first game sold a fuckload. And I think it'll probably make a lot of money with its current system of microtransactions. And comparatively, like the people who spend money on it and who own it and buy it versus like the pool of people who are now angry about it, those people are being dwarfed by just the regular Joes out there who want their Star Wars. James? Have I ever bought? Oh yeah, fuck yeah!
Which game?
Overwatch.
I bought some in Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch, and sometimes I mean, like, does Hearthstone count?
Yeah, kind of.
How about some TF2 stuff?
Yeah, TF2.
I think I bought some Division stuff. That is low.
That's fucking low. Yeah. Those suck.
That's
man.
Just like a fucking pair of socks you get.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I bought H1Z1 a few loot boxes. That was just, it was like brown pants. Because the art in that game is so, like, the art in that game is, I've always found, I don't really care for the art design, and all the cosmetic stuff even is not particularly thrilling. And I like bought a loot box and I opened it and it was like brown pants. I was like, brown pants.
Yeah. Were they like, express yourself. Were they like epic rarity pants? Or?
No, they were just like brown pants.
Shiny brown pants. I don't think we answered the question, but
find us a non-loot box question.
They're going. Yeah, I'm getting to sad right now.
Looted out.
There's so many. Should we
kill all developers who've ever made? No, stop asking.
Whoa! Here's a good one. I don't know if you guys saw this, but with the Game Award nominees out,
Yeah.
I took a look at them. Are there any games you wish that was in the running that did not get nominated? So I can't remember like from memory like everything that was there. But I do wish Divinity Original Sin 2 was in more than, I think, just RPG of the year. I don't know. But I don't expect, like, the Game Awards to be the most representative thing. Like, it's hard for me to take them too seriously when they are often used as, like, it's a platform to announce new shit, kind of.
I like seeing the new shit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I quite like it.
It's like a little E3 we get to cover and not be there at and have to run around. Their heads cut off. PUBG is interestingly part of the which I think is fair.
He said he didn't want to win Game of the Year, right?
I think he said, I don't know if we deserve it.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I humble, like, you know, who wouldn't? You know, he seems like a humble guy. He was like, oh, guys.
But, yeah, he seems like a nice dude.
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing that really stood out to me or not. It seems
it's
like
very console heavy in a lot of ways. I mean, not that PC games don't also show up on console, but there's a lot of console exclusives that are on the awards. Your Mario's and your Legend of Zelda's.
Horizon Zero Dawn will win. People seem to like that game much more than I did.
I did not like it at all. This is not the console cast.
People really love it.
It's not good.
I thought it looked cool. My problem with it was that I saw like the trailer for it seemed like 4 years ago, and then every year they would just show another trailer. And I was like, I don't have a console. I have no stake in that. But I was just like, come on, just release it already. I'm tired of seeing this lady fight a robotic elephant.
It is like the last open world collectathon game, but also the prettiest.
I got bored in Zelda. What do you think of that?
So you would fucking hate this game. You would hate this game. But anyway.
I've played it.
Oh, you have?
I think it's fine. Yes. I think it's like a solid 7 out of 10.
That I would, sure, I guess. Whatever. This is the PC Gamer Podcast, not the PlayStation Gamer Podcast. All console games, just they're the worst. I hate them.
Here's a question for you. I'll ask you a question.
Yeah, go for it.
If you could make Crytek make a new Witcher game, and it would be, well, hang on,
okay.
I've not finished. And it would come out next year.
Okay.
But it would score 85%. Or they can keep making Cyberpunk, and it will come out next year, and it will score 91%. Which of those timelines would you rather live in? You're the reviewer in both cases.
I could give a shit about another open world fantasy game right now. Like, I can't, like. Even if it's CD Projekt, but...
So wait, just answer.
Cyberpunk.
Okay, so chat, answer one if you want the Witcher game, and two if you want the Cyberpunk game.
But I'm also sick of Cyberpunk games because there's so many fucking Cyberpunk.
I want to see what chat says.
I don't know. Chris, what would you do?
I'd go with Cyberpunk. I've never been a big Witcher fellow myself.
Chris!
We got one
vote for two.
Which means... we got a one. We got a two.
One, two.
Well, one if it would make more money. Why do you care? Cyberpunk. Two. It's sort of split. It's pretty. It's pretty evenly. I think Cyberpunk needs its Geralt. It needs its face. It needs something.
We don't know anything about it. Really.
Emotionally, we can attach ourselves to. I'm worried about Cyberpunk because if it doesn't have like a likable, playable character, if they can't nail it. Like, I don't know.
I'm a real graphics whore, and like, I'm just excited to see like their engine doing stuff again. Like, this is going to be a story on the website. Maybe it's there now already. But we cooked an egg in a PC yesterday, and to do that, we had to make the PC run very hot, obviously. So we were running The Witcher in 4K, like with everything turned up to max on a 4K screen, obviously. And holy shit, that game still looks amazing.
It's really.
It looks so good.
Sad.
I felt like this wave of sadness that I finished all of The Witcher.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
on that note.
Yeah, I mean, basically, games suck now. Loot boxes.
Witcher didn't have any loot boxes.
It didn't. I'm just saying, like, how quickly we've fallen from 2016 to 2016.
Whatever. Maybe the next one. Maybe the next one will have loot boxes. It did have an RNG card game, though.
That's right. It did have a card game. And now they're, man.
You could put in a cheat that gave you all the cards, though.
That's true.
Ask me how I know that.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
there's a console command.
Before we reminisce too much and start just bawling on air, we should end it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back at Wednesdays. Yeah. Now that I have
we've
this
mended
new
the PC.
Yeah, yeah. I just took a day to fix everything, and hopefully we're back in a steady position where we can have a show consistently on time and not, you know, delayed due to technical issues.
Super jinx yourself now.
I know. Fuck. Oh well. Well, until conceivably, hopefully next time, Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll see you then.